By the time Esme finally got some sleep, while others headed Kosciusko back toward Familia's space, her initial euphoria had worn away. She woke several times, her heart pounding from dreams she couldn't quite recall. She felt angry, but couldn't find a target for her anger. The Blood Horde intruders were dead. No use to be angry with them. Nothing seemed right. But of course, schedules and ship services were still upset. Those who had been aboard Antbird's Axe with her came around for more congratulations. It was hard to give them the responses they deserved. She wanted to, but she felt empty of anything but unfocused irritation. When Lieutenant Bowery sought her out and told her he'd be glad to give her a strong recommendation for a switch to command track, she felt a prickle of fear. Another sleep cycle helped, but in the next, one of the nightmares caught her again. Esme turned on the light and lay staring at the overhead.
Why can't I get over this? I am not that child anymore. I commanded a ship!
Despite didn't count, but she allowed herself credit for Antbird's Axe.
Only because it had suspected nothing. Only because its captain had been stupid.
Her mind led her through the many ways every decision she'd made could have gone wrong. She had been hasty, impulsive, just like that child who had run away. She could have gotten everyone killed.
Others thought I did well.
But she knew things about herself they didn't. If they knew everything, they'd understand that she could not really be qualified. She had been lucky, and she'd been supported by skilled crew. It would be safer for everyone if she went back into obscurity where she belonged. She could have a decent life if she just kept out of trouble. Esme's throat tightened. She saw the faces of her crew. For a moment, she could feel the surge of confidence that had freed her to make those critical decisions. That was the person she wanted to be, the person who felt at home, undivided, the person who had earned the respect the others gave her. They could not respect her if they knew about the nightmares. She grimaced, picturing herself as a cruiser captain who followed each battle with a round of nightmares. She could see the crew tiptoeing around, listening to the thrashing and moaning. For a moment, it seemed almost funny. Then her eyes filled.
No. I have to find a way to change this.
Esme pushed herself up and headed for the showers. The next shift, word came down that Baron was out of regen and could have visitors. Esme didn't really want to know what horrors he'd endured, but she had to visit him. Baron's eyes had no light in them. He looked less like a Serrano than Esme had ever seen him. She told herself he was probably sedated.
Want some company?
Baron flinched, then stiffened, looking past her ear.
Lieutenant Suiza, I hear you did good things.
I did what I could.
More than I did.
That flat tone that sent prickles down Esme's spine. She could just remember that flatness in her own voice, in that time she didn't want to think about.
I don't belong. A Serrano. A real Serrano, like my grandmother or Harris. They'd have done something.
In the split second before she spoke, awareness of what she was going to say almost clamped her jaw shut.
When I was caught...
You were captured? They didn't tell me that. I'll bet you gave him a rough time.
She could not look at him. She could not look at anything but the moving shadows in her mind as they came clear out of the fog.
I was a child. I didn't give anyone a hard time. I was looking for my father. My mother had died. A fever we have on Altiplano. And my father was off with his army, fighting a civil war.
Esme told the story as quickly, as baldly as she could, trying not to think as she told it. The runaway, the fat woman on the train, the explosions, the village with dead bodies she had thought were sleeping. Then the uniformed men, the hard hands, the pain, the helplessness that was worse than pain.
Esme. Lieutenant. I didn't know.
No. It's not something I talk about. My family had insisted it was a dream, a fever dream. I was sick a long time, the same fever my mother had had. They said I'd run away, gotten near the front, been hurt, but the rest of it was just a dream, they said.
The rest of it?
The man, he was someone I knew, had known, in my father's command.
And they lied to you? They lied to you about that?
They thought it was best. They thought they were protecting me.
It wasn't someone in your own family.
No.
But you went on. You were strong. You didn't...
I cried. I cried night after night. They put me in a room at the top of the house at the end of the hall because I woke them up thrashing around so much. I was afraid of everything, and afraid of being afraid. If they knew how scared I was, they would despise me. They were all heroes. My father, my uncles, my cousins, even my Aunt Sani. Papa Stefan had no use for crybabies. I couldn't cry in front of him. Put it behind you, they said. What's past is past, they said.
But surely they knew. Even I know from my foster family that children don't just forget things like that.
On Altiplano, you forget. Or you leave. I left. Which relieved them because I was always trouble for them.
I can't believe you were trouble.
Oh, yes. A Suiza woman who did not ride, who did not involve herself with stock breeding, who did not flirt and attract the right sort of young men. My poor stepmother spent years on me trying to make me normal, and none of it worked.
But you got into the Fleet Prep School program. You must have recovered very well. What did the psych nannies say? Did they give you any additional therapy?
I had read psych books on Altiplano. There wasn't any therapy available there, and after all, I passed the exams.
I can't believe...
I just did it.
Baron flinched, and Esme realized how he might take that.
It's not the same for you.
No. I'm a grown man, or supposed to be.
You are. And you did what you could. It's not your fault.
But a Serrano is supposed to...
You were a captive. You had no choices except to survive or die. Do you think I never tortured myself with a Suiza is supposed to? Of course I did. But it doesn't help. And it doesn't matter what you did, even if you spewed your guts.
I did.
So... That's your body. If it wants to vomit, it will. If it wants to leak, it will. You can't stop it.
Somehow I can't see my grandmother admiral puking all over a muscle-bound blood horde commando just because someone mentioned the arena combat.
You had been hit in the head, hadn't you?
Not that hard.
Esme fought down a flash of anger. She had told him things she had not told anyone else, and he was still determined to wallow in his own guilt.
They'll want me to talk about it.
Who?
The psych nannies, of course, just as they did with you. I don't want to talk about it.
Of course not.
How bad is it? What do they say? What do they put in your record?
It's not too bad. You'll do fine.
Quickly, she moved toward the door. Baron raised a hand still streaked with the pink stain of new skin glue.
Lieutenant, please.
What?
Esme turned back to him, and his eyes widened at what he saw on her face.
You haven't talked to the psychs, have you? Ever?
I...
You just hid it, didn't you? By yourself.
Yes. I had to. It was the only way, and it's better. I'm fine now.
Just like me.
No. I'm older. It's been longer. I do know what you're feeling, but it gets better.
This is what confused people.
What do you mean, confused?
It wasn't just the difference in Altiplano's social customs and fleets. It was this secret you had. That's why your talents were all locked up, hidden. Why it took combat to unlock them, let you show what you could do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You need help as much as I do.
No, I don't. I'm fine now. It's under control, as you say. I can function.
Not at your best. I heard about your best. Grandmother said the combat analysis was unbelievable.
Your grandmother wasn't on the Board of Inquiry.
Boards of Inquiry exist to scare captains into heart attacks and ulcers. What I heard through the family was how the real commanders, who have combat experience, saw it. And no one, grandmother included, could understand how you did it. She said that you were hiding something, something that kept you from showing what you could do.
Well, it's not hidden now. I did command that ship. Actually, two of them now.
Not that.
I told you, it's not hidden.
I'm not a psych nanny. Do you think my telling you about my experience would be sufficient?
No. They know already. You have to talk to them. And they'll help you, I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm. So sure that you will talk to them too?
Me?
Don't play dumb with me. You know you're not healed. You know you still need help.
They'll throw me out.
A mutineer who had craziness in her past? They'll send me back.
Oh, no, they won't. Grandmother won't let them.
Your grandmother doesn't run everything in Fleet.
No, but it doesn't hurt to have her on your side, which you do. She's not about to lose an officer she considers brilliant. And if you talk to them about your problem... See, I've never met anyone. I've never felt...
You want a partner? Is that what you're saying?
Baron nodded without speaking. Clear in his expression was the effort it cost him to pull himself out of his own pain long enough to reach out to her. Esme's heart pounded. Her breath came short.
You already told me. It's not like it'll be the first time for you.
When you hit the ground, Papa Stefan had always said, it was too late to be scared of being bucked off. You had already survived the worst. Now all you had to do was catch the horse and get back on.
I caught the horse.
Esme almost laughed at Baron's confusion.
All right. I will talk to them. But you have to cooperate too. I want a Serrano ally closer to my own age than your estimable grandmother or your ferocious cousin. Is that a deal?
Deal. Although I'm not sure you got the right adjective with the right relative.